I have a friend in Denver whose name is Jeff. For 13 years, while I was there serving, we met together and sponsored each other in our recovery and tried to further and deepen our life in Christ together. Every once in a while, he would say something that just stunned me. It just sort of exploded and stuck with me. And one of his lines that I remember best was this: "Jay, I don't have an alcohol problem. I have an alcohol solution. My problems are no different than everybody else. We've all got the same problems. But alcohol was my solution." It is an excellent commentary on the statement of Galatians tonight in verse 21. If we paraphrase it, it would say something like this: "If my own solutions actually worked, I wouldn't need Jesus." That we're here because our solutions, in the vernacular I grew up with, just ain't working. Ash Wednesday is the church's version of step one. My life is unmanageable and out of control. And Ash Wednesday is an annual time where we come back to that statement. Although, a little aside, this is a soapbox. I'm up here, you're out there, so I get to do this. Every once in a while, I like to say, you know, we need to read step one before all the other steps and include it with them. But in step one, we finally give up. And that's really what Ash Wednesday says. It invites us to come back and to re-examine life again and to see where we've drifted, where we've wandered. We all have ways of coping. And we learned them early. We fudged the truth just a little bit. We drank just a little too much. We cheated a little. We tried a few drugs. We gossiped a little. We spent some money that we didn't really have, so we gambled to try and get it back. We complained a little, so we started flirting, and that got us into real trouble. We criticized a lot, and a little became a lot, and suddenly a solution became life's big problem. And now we had to deal with it. It was destroying us. Easter is such a big deal that the church realized we need time to prepare for this. This day is so glorious and so big, and the grace of God is so magnificent. We can't just make an announcement here one week and say, "Oh, by the way, guys, next week is Easter. Everybody come, bring a bell, we're going to have a great time." It's too big for that. Now, you won't find Lent in the scriptures. You won't find a lot of the things that go with customs. They have come out of the experience of the church trying to prepare our hearts and set us on a right path to meet God on Easter. We need to remember some things. We need to go back and ask again, why is Easter necessary? What did it cost God for us to have Easter? We need time to recognize that we've kind of crawled back into some of those old solutions. We're trying them again. They're familiar. They're comfortable. And even if they don't work, they make us feel good because we feel like we're doing something. And so we try again. Ash Wednesday is the start that says, let's stop and take stock of our lives once again. Let's see the rust that's happened here. We are not invited to say, this time I'm going to get serious. This time I'm really, really, really going to fix this. This time I'm going to get serious about God. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray every day. I'm going to serve. I'm going to love. I'm going to do this thing. And the operative word is I. If we could have done it, we would have done it. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. That's I. I'm going to fix this thing. I'm going to do this thing. We can't do that. What did the gospel say? You know how it happens in a religious setting? Because in a religious setting, we look around and we kind of go, well, you know, I'm not like them. I'm not like those people. I want a t-shirt that says I'm one of those people. And so, did you hear the gospel? You know, when you fast, when you pray, when you give, don't do it so that people know it's you, so that they get really excited about you. Now, every one of us in here could pass the test if we said, who is at the center of the spotlight of God? We would all say, oh, it's Jesus. No question there. Nobody's going to miss that. But if you look at us, we don't want to take his place. We just want to scoot close enough so that there's a little light on us and so that people see we're with him. You know, yeah, when you see Jesus, the question to ask, and it's what comes out of the gospel. When people look at Jesus, do they see you or do they see Jesus? Because the whole point of the gospels is to see Jesus. I know the grace of God covers all things. Psalm that we read was so right. Oh God, you do not treat us like we deserve. You are so merciful and kind to us. But if we don't look honestly at ourselves, if we don't say, this time, tonight, I'm going to stop and I'm going to take stock of myself. If we don't somewhere do that, we just kind of drift back into old habits. All those old solutions become stronger and stronger, and we find ourselves right back where we were. Lent is the church's invitation every year to enter recovery. Let's go to a meeting. It's called church. Let's find out what God has to say to us. C.S. Lewis said when and the beautiful thing about Lewis, he gives these illustrations that are so easy to remember and so clear. Because some of us have an idea that, you know, yeah, we've got problems. Nobody's going to say they're perfect, but you know, it's not that bad. And I work and I take care of these things, and then God comes in over here and helps me fix that. And Lewis said, we are not a garden that needs to be weeded. We're a field of weeds that needs to be plowed up and re-sown. It needs to be God. In Luke chapter 7, there's a number of stories, and at the end of the chapter, Jesus describes an event. He is invited by a religious leader to go to his house for supper. And he comes, and there are a lot of well-heeled people there. There's also a woman who's obviously an outsider, who obviously doesn't fit into that crowd. She's crying, she's weeping, she's wiping his feet with her hair, and her tears are washing him off. She has oil and she's anointing him. She is brokenhearted at her own sin and so anxious for Jesus. And Jesus notices all the religious people are looking at her. And they're looking at him. And they're thinking, if he knew who she really was, he wouldn't have anything to do with her. So he stands up in the party and he calls the host, and everybody's listening. And he says, let me ask you something. Two people owe somebody money. One of them owes a little bit and the other one owes a lot. And that man forgives both of their debts. Who do you think is the most grateful? And the guy said, well, I guess the one who owed the most, because he was forgiven the most. And he says, you're right. I came here tonight and you haven't done a thing for me to welcome me, to make me feel important or invited as a guest. This woman has not stopped loving me. And he says to her, your sins are forgiven. And then he says, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little. You want to know how much you understand the grace of God? Ask yourself, ask the others around you, how quick am I to love? Those who have been forgiven, whose lives have been broken by the hardship of life, and who have received a welcome and a mercy and a come on home from the Father. We understand. We understand it is not ours to judge. We understand that people don't answer to us. We're not the forgiver, Jesus is. We understand that they rise and fall before Him. But for us, let us examine our hearts tonight. If we would fall back in love with Jesus again, that's really what this night is an invitation for us to do. Fall in love with Jesus again. So that you can not only recognize where you're drifting, where you're taking over your life again, but you can see where He is forgiving you. And you can look at the people around you, and instead of writing down your lecture, here's the things you need to do to fix your life, you can say instead, I have no right to judge you. I offer you the mercy of God, the same mercy that was offered to me. Turn to Him. He will demand nothing but the truth from you, the absolute truth. And in return, He will give you an eternal mercy that will not run out, that will not be end, and will not be taken away from you. So tonight we begin the journey, and we begin it as Anglicans do with something that we can touch and see. We have a lot of movement in an Anglican service. We say things, and then we do certain actions to interpret them, to express them. And so tonight we're going to use ashes. I'm going to pray now for the ashes that we're about to use. You will come forward, others will instruct you in that. But prepare your hearts to come and not only receive something simple and physical that can be seen and known. Prepare yourself to say, oh God, touch my heart and help me fall in love with you again.